Okay, summary of cultivation. So 3.4, this is very important. First is to train the mind to be heedful. And I repeat, heedfulness has two parts. Ever mindful, constantly meditating. Based on Dhammapada verse 23. So to be ever mindful, you need to train the mind to be mindful first. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful until the mind enters sati. Then use that mind that is ever mindful to meditate, to cultivate noble eightfold path. Then you combine these two, you become heedful. You can do it throughout the day, initially your waking moments. You will be destined for enlightenment, because according to the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 confirm all this. Verse 21 said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead, and heedlessness is the path to the dead. So with this understanding, we should be very, very determined not to be heedless. We should intend on heedfulness, like all the wise one following Dhammapada verse 22. Distinctly knowing the big difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, the wise one will intend on heedfulness. And when they do that, they rejoice in the realm of the Aryas, means they are destined for enlightenment. The Aryas are enlightened being noble ones. So this initial training to be heedful is most important. All meditation must start from there. Otherwise, you are not doing it correctly. And to be heedful, you need to train your mind to be mindful first. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful until mind enters sati. Then use it to meditate, to cultivate noble eightfold path. Meditate means develop awareness to understand. Then the noble eightfold path, you follow it, it will unfold. Starting in right view in regards to what? Law of karma. So with the silent mind, meditative mind, ever mindful throughout the day, you develop the observation of life. You develop the understanding of what life is, then you will come to understand what law of karma is all about. You can put it to test, you can investigate into it, it will stand up to investigation. Then you realize everything is dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of phenomena. Then there is this moral causation, mental intention involved behind every thought process. Every moment of sense experience, there is this content of consciousness that come through the thought process. And within the content, the chetana or mental intention is the most important. So if you don't have right view, your mental intention is all with the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. That's why right view is most important. And when you understand that there is this law of karma, following the advice of the Buddha, you have to make sure you take care of karma. Where the Buddha said, you have to reflect every day. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So our entire life depends on karma, because we are born of it. We inherited all of it. Then we are conditioned and supported by our karma every moment, every instant. Then we are what we are because of our karma whenever we arise in a form of mind. So all this understanding will drive us to have the right view to cultivate. Means if karma plays such a great role in our life, what must we do? we must take care of karma. And how do we take care of karma? We need to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good. Because law of karma is you reap what you sow. You reap the fruit of evil, then you will suffer. Do good because good, do evil because evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will root the fruit of wholesomeness. If you plant the seed of evil through heedlessness, you will reap the fruit of heedlessness or evil. So your karma will fall. You will be afflicted if you don't take care of karma. That's the reason why we have to train our mind to be ever mindful, to be able to take care of karma, means to enable us to keep our precepts. Our precepts depend on mindfulness, so that we can observe our mind, our mental intention. We have to understand what constitutes evil. The evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion constitute evil. So when we are mindful of these evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then we can develop the appropriate foreign effort to abandon them. Whatever wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that has a reason, we can arise the right effort to abandon them. And there are five ways to do it. Then after that, when you have developed the understanding and the wisdom, you can be mindful. And at the moment when you are aware with the understanding, you can arise the second right effort to prevent the wrong thought or wrong speech and wrong action from arising. And that second right effort need the initial wisdom, the understanding. But when you see it clearly that these are evil roots, that condition evil activity make you evil, cause your karmic nature to fall, cause you to develop negativity of karmic, then your life will be affected. So if that is not what you want, you better wake up and determine to avoid all evil. Determine to cultivate heedfulness, to be aware, to be mindful, so that you can handle life. Then the third right effort is the development of wholesomeness, cultivation of the right thought, right speech, and right action that are still not in you. So you have to reflect, contemplate, and develop the ability to understand what constitutes right thought, right speech, and right action. And from there, only you can arise the right effort to cultivate them one by one. Then the fourth right effort is to refine upon whatever right thought, right speech, and right action that you have developed until it becomes very complete. Means you are able to refine and perfect it until it becomes part of you. It's like the virtue in you. So this four right effort is the beginning of purification. Initially is to purify your conduct, your morality, sila visuddhi. So when you can do that, then only you can move on with your cultivation. Without the purification of sila or morality, you cannot take care of karma. You cannot have the good condition to cultivate, to meditate in the good life. So the beginning of change is the beginning of cultivation of sati, mindfulness, leading to heedfulness, followed by the purification of morality. Means the foreign effort that I taught you just now, starting with right view. And right view, the first one is always law of karma. So understand all this. Yeah. Then how to avoid all evil? The Buddha said, keep the precept. So precept is very important. Sila visuddhi, purification of precept or morality, starts with having the mindfulness to keep your precepts. You look at the precept, the way it's worded is very beautiful, very profound. The Buddha said, We undertake the training rule. We always say training rule means you are training yourself to abstain from what? First precept is to abstain from killing fellow living being. Yeah. But you can also add in causing harm and killing of fellow living beings. Yeah. Even causing harm is bad enough, the coming. Yeah. And of course, causing suffering and misery will be worse. Mm. And suffering can be mental suffering, misery, physical suffering. Mm. So this word Panatipata Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami, the last few words after Panatipata, Viramani Sikapadang Samadhiyami, this one is repeated for all the five precepts. The meaning is we undertake the training rules to abstain from Panatipata, means killing fellow living being, or causing harm, or suffering and misery to fellow living being. So this training rule is very useful, very important. Then Adina Dana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhi Yami, the second precept. So we undertake the training rule to abstain from stealing or misappropriating or taking things that don't belong to us without proper permission. Means you didn't do it the society's way or the nature's moral standard. Mm. This is to avoid selfishness, craving, desire, possessiveness, cunningness. So all these are the evil roots. Roots of all evil make you evil. When you do all those, means you violate the precept. It constitutes major evil. Then in future, you reap what you sow. People will steal from you, cheat you, deceive you, take advantage of you. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, then make sure you keep your precepts. So you continue the third, the fourth, and the fifth, you understand. And all these precepts constitute major evil because you check them, like first precept. Why must we undertake the training rules to abstain from killing and causing harm or misery to fellow living beings? Who will do this type of thing? Who will kill, who will harm, who will cause suffering? It's always the deluded people, the angry and violent people, and the selfish people. They have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why this constitutes major evil, and you reap what you sow. Means in future, if you do this to people, fellow living beings, in future, when you have the condition, you become the victim. People will kill you, hurt you, harm you, and cause suffering and misery to you. Do you want your life? You decide. If that is not what you want, you better be serious about life. Wake up. Be heedful. Never to do this. If you don't like whatever you do to people, to be done to you, then you better don't do these evil things to people. You have to avoid all evil. That's what the advice of the Buddha is. Failing to avoid all evil will lead to karmic repercussion, karmic friction. So this aspect of sila, very important. Sila visuddhi, purification of sila or morality. And that is the first cultivation. When sila is being developed, then it will give you the good life because you have started to follow the advice of the Buddha. When you keep your precept, it's like wearing masks. You protect yourself, you protect others. And that is what will transform your life because keeping precept is avoiding coming negativity, avoiding harming others, causing suffering to others. And through that, you protect your karmic nature. Your karmic nature will not fall. So instead of only protect yourself and protect others, you also protect yourself. That's why keeping of precept is a meritorious action. It's considered very, very high merit. And you can keep your precept until it's pure, means you don't violate it. Life of the line, you become very beautiful. That virtue will protect you. That sila visuddhi, purification of morality or sila, will keep you safe, happy, peaceful, and full of blessings, merits. And it's a very wonderful merit. So keeping of precept is one of the 10 meritorious actions, and is a very, very high quality merit. People don't understand. You have your precept well kept, life after life, you become very different. Your life become very different. You are like very blessed. Then very lucky, everything go your way. Because you keep your precept means you don't commit negativity. You don't violate the moral code. Then there is no condition for friction to happen to you. So your life is so beautiful. People won't kill you, won't cheat you, won't deceive you, won't harm you. Your spouse, whenever you arise, they will not cheat on you. There is no such thing as getting hurt through sexual misconduct. Then people will not lie to you and deceive you. Then because you keep the fifth precept, you will have condition to continue to keep that precept. Then you won't meet people who violate that precept and cause havoc to the world. So all these are very beautiful. So sila is very useful. So we move on. Train the mind to be heedful via puja and devotional practice, a daily religious routine to be useful. So during puja, or what we call devotional practice, we should do it until it becomes part of our daily religious routine. In fact, it's a good practice. Every religious ceremony, the Buddha recommend that we have puja. That's why we have the pre-puja, the post-puja. And these are handed down and taught by the Buddha. And it's very important, very useful. That's why we do it. Then on your own, last time when I was cultivating, the first thing I will do is early morning when I wake up, I will do my puja, short one. Then after that, I meditate for a while. And I radiate merits, share merit, transfer merit. Then I do the closing puja. Then before I sleep, I do the same. And whenever I have condition to do like Sunday service or what, I will do. I will participate in the chanting. And in the chanting is very beautiful, this puja chanting. First, you get to do almost all the 10 meritorious actions when you attend the Sunday class or Sunday service. You reach the temple, the shrine hall, you immediately go in and pay your respect. Then do your bowing. So paying of respect, reverential salutation is a meritorious action. Then you chant the salutation to the Buddha, which is to recall to mind who the Buddha is, and that itself is very virtuous and give you faith. It strengthens your faith. Let you recall to mind the great teaching of Lord Buddha, the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. And you chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha so that you know what the Triple Gem are and why you take refuge in the Triple Gem. And the meaning of refuge. After that, normally you renew your five precepts. All these are very meritorious. Then the chanting gives you the faith, the vibration, the sadha leading to virya. And you do it mindfully, the spiritual faculties are developed. So puja and devotional practice has this value. Then they also chant the significance of all the puja offerings so that you understand the deep meaning behind all these puja offerings, like the offering of clear water, incense, candle lights, then fruits, flowers. They have different meanings. Then there are also other very rather meaningful offering. Sometimes they offer robes. Sometimes they offer requisite to the monks. So all these are offerings. And when you do it mindfully, with awareness, with sati, with understanding, puja can be very meaningful. Then closing puja, you share merit, you transfer merit. Then in between, you meditate. Normally they have short session of metta or loving kindness meditation. For us, we have half an hour awareness-based meditation, which is very important, very useful. And this one is a great field of mind. You can really calm your mind down, develop the ability to be just aware. The free mind that is just silent and aware. Very, very wholesome. The marriage is very hard. Do you understand the meaning of it? According to the Buddha, to have a moment of pure thought without the evil root is so pure, so wholesome. Whatever merits you do, you cannot match a moment of pure thought without any evil roots. That is a pure mind. And to have a moment of pure thought is so beautiful. But when you can meditate for half an hour, almost the entire half an hour, you are in that state of purity, pure awareness, pure thought. That itself is really, really wholesome, beautiful. That's why one session of our Tuesday class or Thursday class or even Sunday sharing is wholesomeness is beyond what you can imagine. You do it with understanding. You can develop it with full attention and mindfulness and awareness. It's really wholesome. And it will transform you. It will allow you to progress very beautifully. So all these are very meaningful. So puja has its beauty. So the 10 marital section we go through, you can make offering, puja offering, or offering to monk, whatever, or make donation. So dana is one of the marital section. You keep your precept, another marital section. Then you meditate, another meritorious action. So dana, sila, bhavana. Then after that, you listen to dhamma. It's also meritorious action. Then you straighten your view. It's also another meritorious action. Then you share merits, you transfer merits. Then after that, you can develop what they call service to the community. Come back already. Yeah. So everything will fall into place. So if you do all this with understanding, you get to perform the 10 meritorious action almost every session throughout the day. Then when you continuously develop this cultivation as a religious routine, you become very different. You become very, very wholesome. And your cultivation will take off because it's very beautiful, the 10 meritorious action. And with the awareness-based meditation that you can develop through this cultivation and understanding, you will really become very beautiful as a cultivator. That's why what we share here, what we learn here is so different from normal teaching that you see elsewhere. It's not really easy to have all this. So you should rejoice with your good affinity with the Triple Gem and your good karma. So make full use of whatever you have. So when you can integrate into a religious routine, you become beautiful. Then whatever you do after the puja, you determine to be aware, develop daily mindfulness. Everything you do, whether you are at home, doing your household chores, or preparing yourself for breakfast or whatever, or even preparing yourself for the day where you need to go to the washroom, clean yourself up, brush your teeth, bathe or whatever. Then answer nature's call or do your whatever household chores. Do it mindfully. Then whatever you do throughout the day, you can be mindful within your home environment. That is a very good beginning. Then after that, when you come down from your upstairs or whatever, if you see your author, pay your respect mindfully again. Then go for your breakfast or whatever. Then after that, you need to drive to office. Be mindful of all the process, how you actually reach out for your car key on the alarm to unlock your car. Then how you carry your whatever office equipment, laptop or bag or whatever, mindfully everything. Then how you come out of the house, how you actually lock your door and all those things. Then when you move your hand to slide the grill or move the grill, be mindful. Then when you enter your car, how your hand approach the handle, pull it away, every movement away, every action away. Then how you sit, how you check on the mirror, then how you on the ignition. If it's automatic, how your hand go and on that auto switch. Be mindful. Then how you hold your steering, how you reverse your car, how you on your auto gate and all those things. Be mindful. Then leading to the office all the way. And even your working moment, working hours. If you can do that as a religious routine, you will progress very fast. Your meditation will take off. It will become very different. So coming back to a summary of cultivation, training the mind to be heedful, you need puja, which I have described, devotional practice, then combine it with a daily religious routine will be very useful. Then B is for those whose spiritual faculty are still not developed. You can use mind sweeping method and metta to decondition your heedless thinking, which I have read just now. Then once you decondition your heedless thinking, your mind become very quiet, very peaceful and tranquil, because you just feel and relax. You no longer think. When you just feel and relax, it will decondition your heedless thinking. Then to start thinking again, the momentum to move it is more difficult. You need more energy. That's why mind sweeping method combined with metta is a very good skillful means to decondition your heedless thinking. And this mind sweeping method also will enable you to develop the training of the mind to be at the location you want it to be. When you want it to be at the forehead, it will be there. Means aware, there, relax, silent. When you just relax and aware, you don't think. So you sweep it down. Relax, aware. From the forehead down to the facial muscle or eye muscle, the facial muscle, keep on relaxing. Feel, relax, no more thinking. So after about 5-10 minutes, it will decondition your entire heedless thinking, then your mind like become very quiet, very still. So that is a very good training. Yeah? Then when you do metta, it bring about inner well-being, where you wish well-being to yourself and to all others. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Be well and happy. Then you extend it to your loved ones, then to all beings within the vicinity and the entire nation. Then slowly to the planet, then the solar system, the galaxy, and the Milky Way and the whole universe. So all this will bring about the training of the mind to be aware, leading to inner peace and inner well-being. Then after that, to stabilize this mindfulness, you can try anapanasati if you are used to it. Otherwise, whatever skillful means that you have, you can try it. And the easiest way is to follow the four support for awareness-based meditation. Just relax, silence everything, and maintain awareness for as long as you can. The third support is 24 hours for as long as you can. So first support is relax. Whatever happened, relax into it. All mind state, relax. Feel yourself at ease. Then maintain awareness. Means don't think, don't do anything, don't try to know. Just maintain awareness. Just aware, finish. Aware, finish. Whatever tactile that arises through the senses, aware, finish. And whatever sankara or thinking, if it's still going on, let it be. Do not fight it, do not control it, do not like want to suppress it or stop it. No, just let it be. Then it will slow down. It will slow down. It will lose its momentum. The very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought. Because it needs energy, thought energy. If you don't give it any meaning, it will not be able to continue. So see that sankara activity slowing down until it becomes very quiet and very still. Then you will understand what your true mind is. It will return to its original state of tranquility, stillness, the silent mind, before the stirring, before the reaction of mind, before the sankara activity. So you need to realize your true mind, your original mind, before the arising of heedless thinking. So all this is meditation. It becomes very easy and very beautiful. So you can try whatever. If I find the four support easiest instead of the method and technique, but it depends, because some people are more suited to certain type of object of meditation, that they could have done it for a long time, maybe past life and sometimes this life also. So you can use it, no harm. But if you have developed the spiritual faculty, your mind is in the meditative state straight away, then the four support is the easiest and the fastest. It takes you to the true mind straight away, silent mind. You avoid all the thought-based meditation. You just relax, maintain awareness, then the mind settles down. And the mind will go back to its original state of stillness, tranquility, and awareness. That is your true mind. Realize that, stabilize that, stay with it, then use it to meditate. So that part, which is anapanasati, is C, or the four support, or whatever skillful means. Then after that, you continue the training by doing the mindfulness of the four posture. This one is a must, because the Buddha actually advised the monk in the Kayanupassana training. After anapanasati, means train your mind to be aware and mindful, you should develop the second category of cultivation of Kayanupassana, which is mindfulness of the four posture. Means standing aware, sitting aware, walking aware, lying down aware. Then after that, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment or daily mindfulness with clear comprehension training. So this daily mindfulness technically is to connect all the intermediate action and movement between the four postures to make it into a complete daily mindfulness training. So DME is a must, daily mindfulness cultivation. That's why after your morning puja, when you wake up, or before you sleep, in between, you have to cultivate this daily mindfulness awareness. Then once hit full already, means you are able to train your mind to be ever mindful, then use this mind that is heedful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path or the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, which finally accumulate into the cultivation of mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths, which includes the Fourth Noble Truth, mindfulness of Noble Eightfold Path. So three turning of the Four Noble Truths followed by the four foundation of mindfulness or satipatthana practice will complete the whole training. So this one, once you understand the summary of cultivation, you can do it. So to meditate, to cultivate is very easy if you are guided by all this understanding. So training the mind to be heedful is a must. To be heedful, you need to start with mindfulness, stabilize it to be ever mindful, then develop the spiritual faculty through the puja, devotional practice. It also includes the training of the mind to be mindful, the cultivation of the 10 meritorious section. All these are very, very beautiful practices with a lot of wholesomeness. Then it let you understand who is the Buddha and how important his teaching is. That's why you can develop the faith, sadha, virya, sati, the agency and all those things. And all the essential dhamma that he has taught you, they are all inside there. Then the chanting has a lot of beautiful dhamma for you to learn. And it stabilizes your faith through chanting, the vibration actually open up your heart and make you feel calm and composed. Then the faith will drive you. And that training to be aware, to be mindful, you must develop it. That's why mind supreme method followed by metta, anapanasati, or the four support of awareness based meditation, then daily mindfulness. Then after that, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, three turning of the Four Noble Truths, the four foundation of mindfulness, that will complete the entire cultivation. Okay.